A federal judge in Seattle has postponed the sentencing of Ahmed Rassam, the Algerian convicted of plotting to bomb Los Angeles International Airport at the Millennium. The judge said the delay was necessary because he thinks there is still a chance the government can convince Rassam to help authorities with information about other terrorist suspects. Rassam did talk at first, but prosecutors say he's been uncooperative for the past 2 years. His capture back in 1999 was the first clear indication that terrorists might take advantage of the lightly guarded border with Canada to get into the United States. NPR's Martin Costi revisits the border 5 years later to see what's changed.
The westernmost border crossing between Canada and the lower 48 states is Port Angeles on Washington State's Olympic Peninsula. The Coho Ferry from British Columbia docks here twice a day, dropping its ramp to disgorge cars, trucks, and RVs. They line up on the pier for a quick inspection.
How long are we in Canada?
3 days.
The purpose of the trip? Where'd you stay?
CBN.
Why there?
Customs and Border Protection Officer Mark Johnson quizzes the drivers, looking for inconsistencies or some detail that seems off. It was this kind of questioning that tripped up Ahmed Rassam when he came through this very inspection line 5 years ago. The question seemed to make Rassam nervous, and his itinerary, taking this out-of-the-way ferry to get to Seattle, made the inspectors suspicious. Officer Johnson was on duty that evening. He recalls how hard it was to communicate with the supposed Canadian.
I don't know French, but I said, habla español. And he said, no, parlez-vous français. I said, no, let's have your identification, please. Looked at his identification, he gives me his Costco card. Then I have him open up his trunk.
And in the trunk, they found 10 garbage bags of white crystals and 2 jars of reddish liquid. Jerry Slominski, the Customs Port Director, says they assumed it was some kind of narcotics, and they ran a battery of chemical tests, never imagining that they were actually handling the highly volatile makings of a massive bomb. Terrorism was not something they were looking for, he says. Nowadays, it's different.
No inspector wants to be the person who let the terrorist in. So I think first and foremost, people look for that, especially a possible bomb equipment or derivatives or something. Drugs, of course, is always important, but one terrorist is worth 100 drug loads.
This attitude shift is supported by new technology, including personal radiation detectors. So far, the pocket-sized devices have gone off only in the presence of people who've had radiation therapy. There's also more integration of criminal and immigration databases, making it easier to run checks on names and license plates. But Port Angeles does not have bomb-sniffing dogs or scanners that detect traces of chemical explosives. If another Rassam came through today with the same kind of bomb, detection would still depend on the instincts of the inspectors. The bomb-sniffing equipment is available at high-volume crossing points, such as here, 75 miles away on the mainland in the city of Blaine. It's around Blaine that the post-9/11 spending is most visible. They've tripled the number of agents who patrol the border between the official crossing points. And that border, which runs invisibly through city parks, berry fields, and forest land, is also monitored by a new system of security cameras.
Now, if you notice up there, you'll see something's missing.
Driving along a quiet forest road that parallels Canadian territory, Gene Davis points out the places where cameras are missing from their perches. Davis is the former deputy chief of the Border Patrol in this area. He says the new camera system has been a technical nightmare.
There was water in the fiber optic system. You've got splices that are very shoddy. If it got over 72 degrees, the cameras would just take off on their own.
Similar problems have cropped up elsewhere in the $239 million project to install cameras on borders nationwide. In December, a General Services Administration report listed overcharges, waste, and missing cameras. Here in Blaine, Border Patrol Deputy Chief Joe Giuliano says the technical problems have been solved since the GSA's inspection. Giuliano says, technology issues aside, the northern border is simply harder to sneak across than it was 3 years ago.
They didn't assign any people to work the midnight shift. There was 8 hours a day where the border was wide open. If nothing else, the simple mathematics of knowing that you have 24-hour, 7-day-a-week coverage certainly is going to create a tighter hold on this border.
Ultimately, the people who live here think of this border as different from the one down south. While they see the need for security, they do not want to jeopardize this region's traditional openness, nor the steady stream of vacationers, commuters, and trade. In practice, that's translated into a reliance on technology, such as cameras and sensors. Terrorist threat or no, no one here is ready to put up a fence. Martin Costi, NPR News.